Welcome to the second hour's reading of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Hello, I'm Jesse. Bass Pro Shops linked to more retail. Developer says to Midland City Council, "You're on the precipice of making this a regional intersection." The story was written by Stuart Doreen. Bass Pro Shops will lead to more development in West Midland, especially around northwest of the intersection of State Highways 191 and 158, officials said Tuesday. Coy Haynes, a principal with Laramie Investments in Dallas, told the Midland City Council that his investment group has 10 businesses ready to surround the Bass Pro Shops property with no tax incentives. Laramie Investments, according to Haynes, sold Bass Pro Shops the land in West Midland. Haynes also said, had the Midland City Council turned down improving the offer, and therefore improving the odds of losing Bass Pro Shops, it would prevent future deals with businesses like Great Wolf Lodge and Top Golf. Haynes said Top Golf officials had been, quote, on a plane 3 months ago looking at this intersection. "You're on the precipice of making this a regional intersection," Haynes said, "and right now it is not," end quote. One of the selling points made Tuesday was the "if you build it, they will come" argument. Haynes said retailers follow retailers. Quote, "There's a herd mentality," he said. Haynes also said Midland and Odessa are one-store markets for those sit-down restaurants that everyone's looking for. Quote, "They're only going to do one," Haynes said. "They're going to go in the middle of Midland Odessa. They're going to go wherever the synergy is," end quote. City of Midland officials pointed to location as being a reason for an increase in incentives to bring Bass Pro Shops to Midland. The site is more centralized between Midland Odessa, adjacent to the future Nueva Vista development, 1 mile from the Scarborough Sports Complex, adjacent to office buildings, close to Loop 250, which connects with Interstate 20 and State Highway 349, and potentially influences other major tax-generating developments. City officials used an Imagine This presentation, which showed a major retail center that includes Main Event, Alamo Draft House, Cheesecake Factory, Papa Do Seafood Kitchen, Dave & Buster's, Trader Joe's, and Outlet Shopping. Once you get a Bass Pro Shops, who's to say you don't get a Costco? Who's to say you don't get a Top Golf or Great Wolf Lodge? District 2 Councilman Jack Ladd Jr. said. And all of these companies that I've just mentioned, we have been in negotiations with either currently or in the past, end quote. City of Midland officials pointed to the $6 million that claimed were made in off-site utilities, roads, and drainage around 2002 that helped lead to the development boom in West Midland, where the Scarborough Sports Complex resides. The City of Midland reported assessed values went from $10.1 million in 1995 to $643 million in 2022, and property taxes went from $67,000 to $2.3 million inside the area around the sports complex. The City of Midland also reported total incentives, the $5.5 million from the Midland Development Corporation for infrastructure, the property tax abatements and sales tax rebates, etc., will be $10 million over 10 years. The cumulative net benefit during the same time will be $12 million, according to the City of Midland. Lastly, total revenue from Bass Pro Shops, all other sales and property revenue from that area after year 10, when the tax abatements and sales tax rebates end, will be $2.9 million. The following is an opinion article. MRCCAC marks a decade of wine, women, and shoes. The story was written by Lauren Blackheader, MRCCAC Advisory Board. 10 years. It's hard to believe it's been 10 years since we held our first Wine, Women, and Shoes benefiting the Midland Rape Crisis and Children's Advocacy Center, or the MRCCAC. What started out as 325 guests at the Midland Center, held in April 2014, has grown to 600 guests expected at the Horseshoe Pavilion on Thursday. Our world is different. We have weathered multiple downturns in the oil patch, COVID, and supply chain issues. We are different. The MRCCAC now provides more than 600 forensic interviews each year to children alleging abuse or believed to be at risk for abuse. We've opened a second satellite office and now operate the CAC in Midland, Andrews, and Howard counties. And we've established the Sexual Assault Response Team, the SART, to coordinate the investigation of sexual assault cases in Midland, to name only a few of the many ways we've grown and changed. What is not different is the unwavering support of the local community for our event and our center. Our sponsors, volunteers, community partners, and friends enable us to hold this fun and unique event to raise essential funds to operate the MRCCAC and support its continued growth. These funds enable us to hire more therapists to ensure all our clients receive the free therapy they need to heal. They allow us to provide age-appropriate body safety education to elementary school students to help prevent abuse from happening. They allow us to operate a 24/7 365 crisis hotline available at 432-682-7273 to provide assistance to people going through some of the hardest times of their lives. They allow us to live up to the ideal of every client, every service, every time, to provide hope and healing for all survivors of sexual assault and child abuse. The MRCCAC was established in 1979 by a group of concerned citizens who saw a need to provide hope and healing for survivors of sexual assault and child abuse. In 1996, the CAC was added to the Midland Rape Crisis Center, bringing child abuse and sexual assault under one umbrella to care for all survivors. Last year alone, the MRCCAC provided 651 forensic interviews, 5,525 hours of free trauma-focused therapy, and presented on education and prevention to more than 22,000 community members, 14,521 of which were students. It is only through our incredible community, through foundations, corporate sponsors, and generous individuals that we are able to continue to provide these services free of charge for our clients. As we approach our celebration of a decade of changing our shoes to change lives, we want to say thank you to our community who has not only embraced wine, women, and shoes as a fun way to spend a Thursday evening, but has also asked, how can we do more? Thank you for standing up for survivors of sexual assault and child abuse, and for believing that one person at a time we can create a better, safer world. Lauren Blackheader is the Wine, Women, and Shoes Event Chair and MRCCAC Advisory Board Member. Here are some obituaries that appeared in the Midland Reporter-Telegram on Thursday, September 28th. Susan Sue Hanneman, age 59, of Midland, passed away on Sunday, September 24th. Sue was born in West Virginia. She was preceded in death by her parents, James and Kitty Hanneman. She is survived by her brother, Steve Hanneman, and sister, Sherry Rhodes, as well as several nephews. Sue was retired as an assistant director at the Railroad Commission of Texas. Currently, Sue was working as a petroleum engineer in the regulatory department with ConocoPhillips. She had a passion for prison ministries and helping those in need. In lieu of flowers, the family asks you to donate to Carols Outside or the organization of your choice. The family will receive guests on Friday, September 29th, from 6 p.m. through 8 p.m. at Nellie Pickle and Welch Funeral Home in Midland. Memorial service will be held on October 21st at 2 p.m. at Stepping Stone Church, 2410 Elkins Road in Midland. Arrangements are under the direction of Nellie Pickle and Welch Funeral Home and Crematory of Midland. Online condolences may be made at www.npwelch.com. Reginald Ronald Rainey, age 73, of Midland, passed away on Thursday, September 21st. Memorial services will be held at 2 p.m. Monday, October 2nd, at Nellie Pickle and Welch Funeral Home Chapel. Reginald Ronald Rainey was born on April 14, 1950, in St. Louis, Missouri, to Donald and Margaret Rainey. He was married to the love of his life, Cindy, for 46 years. He served in the United States Army and was an avid mechanic. Reggie is survived by son Reginald Rainey II, son Shannon Rainey, and daughter Angela Matzler, as well as several grandchildren and great-grandchildren. Reggie is preceded in death by his parents, Donald and Margaret Rainey, wife Diana Cindy Rainey, brothers Donald and George Rainey, and sister Peggy Harden. Arrangements are under the direction of Nellie Pickle and Welch Funeral Home and Crematory of Midland. Online condolences may be made at www.npwelch.com. John Max Edgar, age 91, of Fort Worth, passed away on Sunday, September 24th. A graveside service for John will be held on Saturday, September 30th at 11 a.m. at Ellis Rest Haven Funeral Home and Memorial Park, 4616 North Big Spring Street in Midland. Fond memories and expressions of sympathy may be shared at www.ellisfunerals.com for the Edgar family. Angelica Chavez Garcia, age 84, of Midland, passed away September 26th. Viewing will be from 3 p.m. to 8 p.m. Thursday, September 28th, at Nellie Pickle and Welch Funeral Home Chapel. Funeral Mass will be held at 10 a.m. Friday, September 29th, at Our Lady of Guadalupe Catholic Church in Midland. Arrangements are under the direction of Nellie Pickle and Welch Funeral Home and Crematory of Midland. Online condolences may be made at www.npwelch.com. Here was the Dear Abby column that appeared in the Midland Reporter-Telegram on Thursday, September 28th. Husband's younger crush reappears in couple's life. Dear Abby, when our son went to college years ago, he traveled all summer with a school-sponsored ministry singing group. The members were all smart, attractive, talented young men and women, a group of four. I stopped going to his concerts because my husband became attracted to one of the young women. She was very outgoing and annoying, so I didn't mind letting my husband go alone. After they all graduated, I thought I'd never see her again. Now, all these years later, she's a missionary, and the church we attend is sponsoring her, so I have had to see her once, and I'll probably have to see her again. I know to keep quiet about it because my husband says he doesn't want to hear it. I don't honestly think his thoughts are inappropriate. I just think he's not aware of how obviously attracted he is to this young woman. I don't act that way toward other men, even if they are attractive. Maybe especially if they are attractive. I wonder if other women experience this and how they cope. Signed, Slightly Jealous in Oregon. Dear Slightly Jealous, this situation occurs with both husbands and wives. They cope in different ways. Some make a joke out of it. Others make a point of accompanying their spouse whenever they know the crush is around. Nowhere in your letter did you state that this younger woman is attracted to your husband or a threat to your marriage. He's old enough to be her father. Obviously, you have talked to him about it, or he wouldn't be telling you he's sick of hearing it. Be patient and let the torch subside. Eventually, she will be transferred to another ministry, and you will be rid of her once again. Dear Abby, my mother and I are super close. I consider her my best friend. My brother, not so much. He ignores my texts and calls, and I know of any news about him only via our mom. My parents divorced when we were very young. When my father passed recently, he left me a decent-sized inheritance and my brother $500. They were estranged. I took the inheritance and the equity in my house, bought a new one, and need to finance only a small amount to remodel. Mom doesn't understand why I didn't share my inheritance with my brother and says she doesn't want to talk about it anymore. I am excited about my upcoming move and the furniture shopping and remodeling. It's killing me that I can't talk to my best friend about it. I tried explaining that giving money to my brother would be taken out of my loan, which I would have to repay with interest. She doesn't want to hear it. Can you give me any advice? Signed, Missing My Bestie in Arizona. Dear Missing, you are not obligated to share your inheritance with your brother. If your dad had wanted his estranged son to have the money, he would have left him more. Your excitement and wanting to share all the details about buying and decorating your new home is understandable, but because your mom prefers you keep them to yourself, abide by her wishes. She may be your best friend, but she is also your brother's mother and is entitled to her opinion about the inheritance money. It is okay for the two of you to disagree about this. MRT plans Midland ISD Bond Forum on October 18th. The story was written by Stuart Doreen. The Midland Reporter-Telegram has scheduled a Midland ISD School Bond Forum for October 18th. The event will take place at 7:30 p.m. inside the Carrasco Room at Midland College. It is open to the public and will air live on the Reporter-Telegram's Facebook page. Representatives from both political action committees related to the $1.4 billion Midland ISD school bond have been invited to attend. The event is the only announced forum and debate between the two political action committees. Reporter-Telegram editor Stuart Doreen will moderate. The event is another in the line of Reporter Telegram forums prior to local elections and will be the second Midland ISD forum that evening. District 7 Special Election Forum. Candidates for the Midland ISD District 7 seat, Josh Gwynn and Brian Murray, are scheduled to participate in the only forum for school board candidates. The forum is scheduled for 6:30 p.m. It is also open to the public and will air live on the Reporter Telegram's Facebook page. District 7 includes the following areas: Green Tree, Briarwood, Saddle Club Ranch Estates, Great House, a section bordered by Garfield Street on the east, Midland Drive on the west, Bluebird Avenue on the north, and Loop 250 on the south, and another section bordered by Loop 250 and Briarwood to the north, Wadley Avenue to the south, Holiday Hill and Loop 250 to the west, and Midkiff Road to the east. The winner of the election will replace Stephanie Mead, who was appointed to replace Murray in June. Murray resigned his position as his two sons had accepted positions to teach and coach football at Legacy High School, their alma mater. The winner of the District 7 special election will fill out the remaining term for the District 7 representative. The term ends in 2024. Business buzz. Ink runs deep. Midlander turns a childhood passion for drawing into private tattoo studio. The story was written by Ben Schaffer. Born and raised Midlander, Luis Guerrero, turned his childhood passion for drawing into high society private tattoo studio in the Colonnade at Polo Park. Growing up, Guerrero drew artistic inspiration from covers of R.L. Stine's Goosebumps books that donned cartoonishly creepy monsters, skulls, and ghouls. He also recalls drawing homies figures, 2-inch figurines that were loosely based on Mexican-American people and the life of their creator, David Gonzalez. Quote, "I started tattooing back in 06, and it started from drawing. I started drawing at a really young age and started hanging out at shops whenever I was old enough, when I was like 14, 15 years old," Guerrero recalled. When his senior year at Lee, now Legacy High School, came around, Guerrero was in a work program that allowed him to attend school for half of a school day and spend the afternoon tattooing at Dave's Tattoo in Odessa, which was open for 25 years until its closing in 2008. Luis said his current brick-and-mortar location was already an existing tattoo shop. The owner of Guerrero's former employer, the Body Gallery, passed it down to him. Quote, "This place was already a tattoo shop, and Ed Alvarado from the Body Gallery passed it down to me because he wanted to expand, and he knew I was trying to open up a small private spot just for me and maybe one other artist," he recalled. The designation of a private tattoo studio comes from the single artist who works there and the single chair it owns. From Burning Incense to Sublime and the Red Hot Chili Peppers playing at just the right volume level, high society provides a relaxed and singular experience for all who walk in. Quote, "I kind of feel like I'm a counselor or something because I hear all kinds of stories," Guerrero said, about the intimate experience of tattooing. Quote, "Some stories are good. Some stories are sad. You'll have some tattoos where people get emotional because the tattoo meant so much to them that when they see it done, you know, they break down," end quote. It's the allure of the tattoo game for Guerrero, knowing he created a special piece of lifelong art for his customers. Guerrero's lifetime of drawing has molded him into an all-styles type of guy. While he has worked in all kinds of tattoo styles, Guerrero loves American traditional, Japanese, and Polynesian styles. Quote, "It's so intricate," Guerrero said about Japanese and Polynesian styles. "It's hard to do, and it's hard to make look great. You really have to know everything about it, from the placement of it, how it's going to look on the body, the story behind it, and all that." End quote. Guerrero advised young prospective artists to get a foot in the door at local tattoo shops and begin to learn the basics. Quote, "Go around, see what shop you feel comfortable at, pretty much hang out there as much as you can, and show them you want to be a part of it. That will kind of get you familiar with all the stuff you have to do to get a shop going on," he said. Odessans indicted in death of baby girl. A 37-year-old Odessa woman, who was arrested in June following the death of a 6-week-old girl in a wreck, has been indicted on intoxication manslaughter and bribery charges. Daisy Denise Cordero was booked into the Ector County Jail Friday morning and released the same day. She's scheduled to be arraigned October 10th in the 70th District Court. According to an Odessa Police Department report, Cordero was driving a Lexus RX 350 when she rear-ended a Chevrolet Cruze that had stopped for a red light on Grandview at Maple Avenue around 11:15 p.m. Eliana Garcia was in the back seat of the Chevy along with a 1-year-old boy. According to OPD, the boy and the 19-year-old driver of the Chevy were taken to Medical Center Hospital and treated for their injuries. The baby was flown to a Lubbock hospital where she later died. Cordero was arrested in a nearby pasture after witnesses pointed her out, the report stated. She smelled of alcohol, had red glassy eyes, appeared confused, was unsteady on her feet, and was slurring her words. She performed poorly on field sobriety tests, the report stated. According to the report, Cordero said she'd had 4 shots of tequila at the Marriott Hotel and knew she shouldn't have been driving. She also repeatedly told the officer she would, quote, "perform sexual favors every day in return for letting her go."
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.